to Keldabe Talk Radio, the official podcast of the Mandalorian Mercs. We're a costume organization dedicated to charity efforts around the globe, attending events in Mandalorian armor we've built by hand. Here on the show, we'll keep you up to date with the latest fan community news. Visit our website at www.mandalorianmercs.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Keldabe Talk Radio. I'm your host, Thaxos, and with me as always are Crow of Wampa Clan.
Yo.
Frost of Talon Clan.
What's up?
And joining us as a permanent addition is Tobias Creed of Vet Manda Clan.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
And tonight our guests are Dark Ram of Blue Moon Clan.
Hey, yeah.
And Mav Nexu of Nexu Clan.
Hey, guys.
Glad you guys could join us. I just want to say a quick congrats to Dark Ram on his Brigade Marshal promotion. We'll be seeing more of him in the coming weeks as he works on that. And additionally, we'd like to thank Biohazard for all his hard work as tech officer, as he's now stepped back. He's stepped down to focus on his studies, and we're wishing him all the best with that. We'll still see him around, no doubt, trooping at events and on the boards. So, in Star Wars news, a couple of interesting things. First off, it has been confirmed that R2-D2 is floating around in Star Trek Into Darkness, which is kind of cool. I don't know how many people spotted that. Anyone hear about that before?
Not initially.
No. Nope.
Not Star Wars, nope. Don't care.
Sorry, fans. We don't talk Trek here,
exactly.
Right?
Get off
of
land.
Yeah, exactly.
Unfortunately, in a bit more somber news, A.C. Crispin, the Star Wars author for the Han Solo trilogy, has passed away.
Mm-hmm. Mm. She had a long-standing battle with lung cancer that she finally gave in to.
Mm.
As most of you have probably heard, a fellow Merc, Remo Jad, Chris Brown, passed away this last Wednesday.
Chris joined the Mercs as an official member back in November 2009, and he was a very energetic member of Vok Chi Clan. And as Vok Chi's first Ruzalor, he went out of his way consistently to always help with new prospects put together outstanding sets of armor. Chris became a member of the App team back in 2011 and worked diligently to help applicants get their kits in order, probing the armor boards daily and answering requests for help. Chris was inducted into the Order of Oriramkad as the October 2012 recipient, earning the highest award achievable to a MMCC official member. In late 2012, Chris became the personnel officer and oversaw some major changes in costume requirements for new applicants. Chris will continue to live on in our hearts and in what we do as the Mandalorian Mercs.
And in other news, there's now another rumor out there for Episode 7, and the working title potentially is A New Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Same here.
That sounds like preliminary merchandising to me. A New Dawn for the next 37 episodes. That's Breaking Dawn, I think. The fact that I know that it's Breaking Dawn makes me upset.
Yeah.
But that's the title of the book.
Well, that's the connection I'm drawn. And that's not
right.
Good.
Well, yeah,
Jedi Sparkle.
Now we know what demographic that they're going to be reaching out to.
Yeah.
Read my aura, Yoda.
We could.
That's
well,
what Mandalorians are made from.
Ground of diamonds.
I just have to say, A New Dawn is very generic.
Bad.
So hopefully,
it sounds like another Blue Harvest.
Yeah.
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 Yes, because A New Hope isn't generic at all.
fair enough.
Yeah, but at least A New Hope was the first title of the movie. Rather than, it's the seventh movie they've made, and now they're going back to A New Dawn. Just like A New Hope, it's a bit too similar to me.
Yeah, I think so too.
Well, what they should have done, they should have gotten George Lucas and just said, George, come up with the corniest title you can, please.
That's probably what they did. That's how they got A New Dawn.
Fair enough.
They should have just went with Star Wars Episode 7, A New Movie.
Or just go with Star Wars Episode 7, and that's literally it.
And the title of his course, actually, and that's literally it.
Well, they, like, once you've reached a certain point, people stop referring to them by name anyway. Like the Star Trek movies, there are 12 of those things. People just start referring. They refer to the last three by name, and yeah. then everything before that is just Trek number.
Yeah.
Like and Wrath
really,
of Khan. Wrath of Khan. That's the only other one.
I know Wrath of Khan, and then there's that whale movie, which was actually pretty good.
Voyage
Star
Home.
Trek 4.
Yeah. Star Trek 4.
In order, it's yep. Motion Picture, Wrath of Khan, Search for Spock, Voyage Home.
I thought we know Hawk Trek
you
get, here.
Get off our land!
I mean, I love Trek.
Yes. And let's not go too far down the rabbit hole with Trek.
Yeah.
I was about to say.
Additionally, for more lovely Episode 7 rumors and or statements or whatnot, Derek Mackey of Star Wars Insider confirmed that no original trilogy actors have contracts for Episode 7.
Yes.
So contrary to the rumors, Han Solo, or rather, Harrison Ford, but he's Han Solo. It's the same person.
Now,
Harrison Ford, Ford, Mark Hamill, Carrie Fitch.
Okay, hang on here.
They're all not signed yet.
Or Billy Dee Williams.
Or Billy Dee.
Billy Dee.
Maybe they are signed. We just don't know it because...
Well, they've been confirmed as not...
No, they can, being, yeah.
They confirmed that they haven't signed them.
They
so either they're denying
lying.
It. They could be. This is true.
Yeah. Okay. J.J. Abrams right. likes to lie about every single facet of every production he ever
totally.
Does.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're holding out for more money or waiting on a script or just wanting to make the mouse sweat a little bit
yeah.
before they actually sign.
All of the above.
Exactly.
Make
we're
the mouse
months.
Sweat?
We've got... Yeah.
Well,
we're
I mean,
three
the,
months away from the movie going into principal photography, and actors have been signed far closer to the deadline than 3 months.
Yeah.
Well, so I still have time to get in the movie. Then
the other thing is
exactly.
that it's possible that they're trying to get another deal, like they got with the original series, which was that all of the face actors, like Mark Hamill, all of those people got a percentage of merchandising,
mm-hmm.
which is. As you might imagine, a stupid amount of money. As a matter of fact, they're able to live off of it forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so it's possible, and that's, like, getting that on Star Wars is a really good deal, and they all have it. The thing is, if they renegotiate a contract with...
they could lose it.
Yeah, they could lose that, or they could lose it on future stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they might still get it on the stuff for
stuff.
All of the original trilogy,
but,
right. but most of the stuff will be the new stuff.
Yeah, but since the population of Earth is 4 times bigger than it was back in 1977, they're probably stand to make a lot more money now than they did in previous years. So
right.
they may be trying to work on that merchandising angle, or they maybe mm-hmm. they want a percentage of the gross. I don't know.
That's true.
The good
well,
news
the reason-
is it was also reported that all four of those actors have already cleared their schedules for next year. So they're ready. They're just being smart about it and making sure they get paid what they want.
Yeah.
I was going to say, because, you know, they're so busy with their, you know, jobs. I mean, I think Harrison's the only one that's got anything filming right now.
Pretty much.
Well, yep. Mark Hamill just finished recording for season 4 of Death Clock.
Well, yeah, but he can do that in like 20 minutes because he's Mark.
He's like half the characters on that TV show. I'm not sure if you're
yeah.
aware.
Each episode's 5 minutes long.
Well, they're 12 minutes long.
With a 10-minute solo.
Yeah, exactly, with a 5-minute song. But, I mean, they do other, at least some of them, do other things.
Sure. Yeah, like conventions.
Yeah, well, and conventions. I'm sure they make a ton of money off of that.
Oh, definitely.
But it's still interesting to see, because I'm really hoping that we at least get somebody back in. Like, I really like the fact that Peter got to be Chewbacca in
mm-hmm.
Revenge of the Sith. I thought that was really cool.
Yes, that was really
mm-hmm.
good.
And so I would appreciate it if they tried
bring
to make
back
it
the Wookiee
that way again.
Yeah.
So
they should bring back the Wookiee.
I hope Mark comes back as Luke. Like, sure, Mark doesn't look like he did in the 80s, but you know what? He wouldn't look like he did in the 80s in Star Wars either, in like 40 after the Battle of Yavin.
Oh, definitely.
Right.
No, he's been through a lot of fights and whatnot.
So, well,
as
and
Grandmaster.
You can always do the Hollywood nip-tuck, lipo...
Digital paint, airbrush, chalk.
Face
swap.
They could do the crap they did in Tron Legacy, except make it look better, because it's
yeah.
years from then.
Just as long as they keep Carrie Fisher out of that slave bikini outfit.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think there will be a reprieve.
Yeah. I don't think there will be. I think that's specifically written into her side of the contract. It's like, please do not ever put me inside any garment made of metal ever again.
Made exclusively of metal. They're like, it's got Gifron.
they can just recast that whole costume. That's it.
Yeah.
Well, I imagine that whole shebang is probably not going to go down.
Probably not.
I don't care how old Carrie Fisher is. I would buy a poster with her in the slave Leia.
Moving onwards. Additionally, there's some interesting news for The Old Republic, and I think Eric's got a bit of info on that.
In other news, it turns out that Tor has actually just announced that they're going to go ahead and start giving people Rise of the Hutt cartel. For free, actually, so long as you are a subscriber for the game. This is something that was released, I think, about 6 months ago. It was an addition to the end of the game. It just added on a couple more levels, added a new planet, some more story, continuation, a new companion. And it cost, like, $20, I believe, at the time. It may have been slightly more than that. I don't quite recall. However, now you just get it for free for playing the game. I personally think it's an unwise decision in that it's basically rewarding people who didn't pay them money, essentially. Because if you were a subscriber, you still had to buy the game, or the expansion to the game. And they haven't released another expansion. Like, it's pretty par for the course. World of Warcraft has been doing this for years. When you release a new expansion, you start giving people the last expansion or two expansions ago for free. But they did it without releasing any new content.
Yeah.
Which has resulted in a bunch of my friends saying, hey, free expansion, when I mentioned it to them.
So are you still playing?
No, I might play now that they gave me for like a month, maybe, until I realize how much I don't like that game and how badly managed it's been.
Yeah.
But
Daryl, Ian, Scott, Jake, you guys play at all?
Nope.
Nah, I still haven't played since the beta.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, I kind of waned off interest maybe 3 months into the game. Never even made it to the next level, so.
I never even started.
I just don't like MMOs.
Yeah.
I mean, I am an avid MMO player. I've played far more MMOs than I'm proud of. and Tor
well,
actually
said it, you said it with pride.
Yeah, well, Tor had the potential to be a very, very well-done, well-run MMO, but they pushed it 6 months early, so the game wasn't done, and they expected people to pay for a game that was essentially a bug-ridden mess. It's kind of like playing Second Life.
We've heard plenty on Tor in the previous podcast, so we'll be moving on to other topics.
Dragon Con!
All right, as some of you might have guessed, we're going to be talking about Dragon Con now. Awesome convention, and a lot of mercs were there.
Just a couple.
Yeah, just a couple. So that was, I'm pretty sure everyone knows when that was, so we don't need to sing. If not, Google it, because there's Google for that.
Yeah. Well, I've been introducing it as me and my 40 best friends, so apparently I'm a little short.
Yeah. Yes, you are a little short, or you just don't have that many friends.
Oh.
So Dragon Con was a roaring success for the Mercs once again.
Yeah.
We had a total of 50 members, in a, 50 official members, at least, in the parade. And afterwards we took our group photo, so that's where I'm getting the numbers from. We had 50 official members in the group photo, a couple more of those marching the parade, and we had a bunch of unofficial members along with as well, I'm sure. And I had a fantastic weekend. It was crazy. Actually, it's not even a weekend. It's more than just a weekend. I think people were showing up and really getting into it Thursday evening even, which is crazy for
it's
Dragon
like,
Con.
Apparently Dragon Con officially starts on Thursday now.
It does. You heard it here first. Jeez. It officially starts on Thursday.
It does. That's when pre-reg opens.
Yep.
Yeah, but I didn't expect Thursday night to be like it was. It didn't used to be like that.
No, it did not.
Well, when you pack 70,000 people into two blocks.
Yeah.
This is true. So for those wondering, get there Wednesday, party Thursday through Monday.
Yes.
Relax on Tuesday,
then
head
go
home.
Home.
I was about to say, it's going to be
basically a week-long event.
And if you are not willing to participate in the debauchery that is Dragon Con after dark, then flee the city at 7 p.m. Just run for your life.
Well, you should actually leave before before then, because if you flee at 7 p.m., you're going to get into a ridiculously horrifying snarl that is Atlanta traffic. I had to drive through that every single day, multiple times, because I didn't stay on site this year, which is a mistake.
Pro tip, stay on site.
Yeah, stay either in the hotel, one of the adjacent buildings, or within walking distance. Do not not drive a car. It's a stupid choice. Any rationale you have that you may make think it's a good idea is wrong.
Yeah. Even walking distance, you need to be careful. My hotel was 8 blocks away, and that was a hike. It was not fun getting into Kit and getting out of Kit and going back.
If you're doing that, one costume a day tops.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Some people like to do multiple costumes in a day. Do that if you're on site, not if you're not.
I did
and
that,
additional,
yeah.
Parking your car, having it valet parked or whatever, finding parking nearby, it's a pain, too.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want that logistic.
Yeah, and it's the immediate area around the convention is fairly safe in terms of crime, in that there's a gazillion nerds around, so nobody really gets the opportunity to perform any sort of crimes.
Exactly.
However, all the parking is like a block away.
Yeah.
And a little more shady.
Yeah.
So the nerds aren't over there. So there's a lot of break-ins that weekend. So unless your car is really crappy, you probably are going to want to park in a deck, and those spots fill up fast, and you can be gone minutes, and someone's in there. So,
and that parking is expensive.
Yeah, $20 to $25 a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I learned that part of
and
my...
And won't cut you a ticket. They won't cut you a ticket, so it's $20 to $25 every time you pull in and out of the door.
Yes.
Yep.
Don't leave. Park and leave your car there.
Forever.
Yeah,
forever.
Unless you are bleeding on fire, you should not pull your car out.
Even then, get a
ride. Even then, there's like a fountain at the Marriott. If you're on fire, just run there.
Exactly. All right, so I know that Mav has done DragonCon, what, twice now?
This is, yes.
Yeah, this was your second time. And I know Fardar was his first time at DragonCon, so perhaps we should get some impressions. get some impressions from you guys how you found it. Let's start with Dar, since he's the newbie to the Dragon Con experience.
Yay, newbie. I thought I had prepared financially, and I had not. I mean, I knew I was going to be losing an entire paycheck to this, but it was beyond what I had thought, especially the parking. And some of the drinks. Those were a little bit more beyond my price range. I was like, really? No.
Mm-hmm.
It was insane because the past few years I've been focused here in Kentucky. And, you know, we do little cons here, Lexington Con, and in conjunction up in Indiana. And so our conventions here are a lot smaller in comparison, like minuscule. And so going to Dragon Con was a complete different world for me. It was definitely, it was an experience though, because I'm not used to that many people around me in a very small area. And especially after having been deployed and everything. So it was very, very, like I would jump from one friend to the next, kind of keeping tabs around me because I was not doing well with the crowd.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and even if you're not coming from that background, the crowds there can still be quite intimidating for any typical convention goer if they're not used to that kind of an area.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Like,
it's packed.
I'm pretty thankful to have Mav and Saxos around whenever I can find them. Cause, yeah, that was... I mean, I'm pretty sure I could hold my own if I had to, but That's crowded. It's crazy. I really don't know another way to put it other than it's just 4 days of insanity. Costume insanity. And
that it is.
And the parade, that was the Ruck March from Hades. I mean, I'm in the Army, and I've done my share of Ruck Marches, but good God, I don't think I would ever do that again.
No?
Yeah, the parade was pretty bad. It was so bad, it resulted in it getting its own patch.
Yeah.
This is true.
Was it really that bad for everybody this year?
That's what I'm hearing.
You're from
it
down that way. You're used to it.
Well, no, the thing for me was that I did it twice. And, I mean, I blistered the crap out of one of my feet because I wrapped it wrong. But, like, other than that, I was okay.
The heat itself didn't bother me too much. I mean,
I have to repaint Sado every year after that march, though, because the lacquer always starts to run because of the sweat that's coming out hits the chest plate because it's a metallic gold, and I put a lacquer over it so that – because it used to be the gold would run, and I was like, So I sprayed a lacquer on it, and now the lacquer runs, and so I have to repaint it every single time after Dragon Con.
Jeez. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've done the Dragon Con parade 3 years in a row now, and I haven't really found it overly harsh, but I might just be crazy.
Yeah.
Well, it depends how late your night was.
I sweat.
Oh.
I sweat a lot during it, but I mean, it's not like it's a murder for me. Granted, I also intentionally don't get plastered on Saturday, Friday night either. So,
he intentionally doesn't try that on
which
one
makes
of the
me a little bit different than most of the people at Dragon Con.
Yeah.
I will say, in my defense, I recently had surgery on my shoulder a couple months ago, so I'm not really in my fitness level that I used to be. So,
hey, you also hadn't ever done it before, so there's no
fair enough.
No defending it. It's all good. Yeah. Everyone's going to be coming to it with a different expectation and not really knowing. I mean, the first year I did it, I was like, "What is this man?"
I'll tell you what. Yeah. The single, the greatest ever Dragon Con parade I've ever had was in 2011.
I was there.
It rained
that
just
was,
a little bit.
Yep.
Yes,
a little bit.
Yep. That was great.
And it was all like, oh, thank God.
Yep.
So, that ladies was, and that gentlemen, make sure that your costume is water safe.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, at least rain safe. Like,
yeah.
You can have electronics under whatever.
I got to say, additionally, the parade route change from this year to the previous years was also making it more difficult. For those that don't know, the parade previously tended to follow more of a downhill or level walking area, and then we had a final section that was downhill.
Not
so we came
this
around
year.
To the back of the Marriott. This year, it was pretty much all uphill, except for that final downhill to the Marriott.
The whole way.
Uphill the whole way, both ways.
Well, and it was like this weird zigzaggy thing, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a bunch of construction that they had to alter the route for, so we ended up basically hanging a left and hanging a right every other corner.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know what the actual, how long that route was?
That's a good question.
It's not very long. It's about half a mile. I was able to walk it in like 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, I was walking pretty quick, but when you do it at snail's pace, which is what it is when you're in the parade, it's trudgery.
Like, it feels like 3 miles when you're baby stepping, yeah.
Well, and you're in a steel canyon. There's all those buildings around it, and all that does is it bounces. It's like a laser. It bounces the light down onto the big black ground, which is a giant radiator. Like, it's this huge radiating thing, so it just comes up at you in waves and beats down on you.
Yeah. You're surrounded by people.
Yeah.
Heat generators.
I've only ever been hotter in a sauna.
Jeez.
I've seen
a volcano.
I will warn anybody whoever comes to Dragon Con and gets to be in the parade, don't do what I did, and that's run around and, you know, dancing to the music and having fun like the first half. Because that first half, I was full of energy. That second half, I was leaning my blaster against the Jedi just to support myself. So I wanted to...
Don't be the Jedi leaner, guys.
The Jedi is there as a joke prisoner, not actually to be leaned on.
Just pulled back behind that one a little bit.
it was quite the march.
Yep.
It was hoofery.
Yep. That it was. but it was still a fun time, definitely. And the parade is definitely an experience that if you at least do once.
It's sort of a shared trauma. The parade is sort of like, it's an experience that you really want to have. You want to do it at least once, even if you don't think you're in the physical shape to do it, or even if you don't believe in hydration. You should do it at least once, because it's sort of a shared trauma that everybody kind of bonds a little bit when you do the parade at Dragon Con. That's why I've done it every year I've gone. And I would say it brings you closer to everybody, but not really. It's more like a shared form of misery. Everybody gets it.
It's a unique experience, definitely.
It's a unique experience.
And it
experience
also, definitely, you share the solidarity with each other.
Yeah.
I know I saw at least a couple people who who had parts falling off of them, which happens in these kinds of things. And then the person right behind them was quick on the draw to grab a part. I grabbed a shoulder bell that fell off the guy in front of me. Mm-hmm. I don't know who else lost what. I think one of our mercs actually picked up one of the Judge Dredd outfit pieces, and they were further up in the parade even.
Yeah.
So it's a solidarity thing.
And
definitely.
we had a rather hilarious thing. It was almost like an auction, like right before we did the group photo, where somebody was saying, "All right, who lost?" And then they would look at what's in their hand, try and guess what it was.
Yeah.
Custom. So I mean, one person's shoulder bell is another person's like arm
knee
guard dealy bob,
or knee plate or boot cover.
Yeah,
or,
like did somebody with a black and yellow kit lose a shoulder pad knee plate thing, and somebody's like, "Oh, that's mine, and
yep. Oh, that was my cod plate."
Yeah. I got it. Oh god.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun though. Definitely,
it's something you need
to
do.
Agreed. It's definitely one of those things that it's an experience as a merc, just as in our community as customers in the mercs community. It's one of those rare experiences that. It's almost like something that you would put on a bucket list, you know?
The Dragon Con parade, yeah.
Oh, I'd say it's definitely a bucket list thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Is for me,
no
anyway.
No pun intended on that bucket.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I'll ever make it to another Dragon Con or not, just because of my situation getting out of the army and everything. I don't know where I'll be, what I'll be doing and whatnot. But the fact that I can say I've finally done it, it's like a personal boost on my feelings as being a part of the community of the Mando Mercs, you know? Cause
oh, definitely.
You look every year and you see these big conventions and you're like, man, I wish I could be a part of that. And when you can finally say you've been a part of it, it definitely puts a real eye-opener on your position and what you do as a part of the community.
Absolutely.
Now, I want to say that I've never been to Dragon Con, and I tried to understand what Dragon Con is through the pictures online, and it's like, I know there's a parade. The one thing I didn't know, which Thaxos had to correct me on, is that I didn't know that there was, like, celebrities there. I was like,
is there anybody
appearing there? And he, like, sent me this alphabetized list of all this stuff.
Yeah.
We had Patrick Stewart, Leonard Nimoy, and Bill Shatner last year. It's like $350 to get a picture with all of them.
They have a huge draw on celebrities every year.
There's a lot of cool things to do there besides the panels and the after hours, or besides the parade and the after hours event. I mean, there's panels, there's celebrities. I mean, I know I got to meet Liam McIntyre and Manny Bennett, Crixus and Spartacus.
Yeah.
Was awesome.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
You know, Danny Logan was there, obviously, and the...
Matt Wood,
yeah, which was... I'd never met Matt Wood before, so that was really cool.
And we oftentimes will have a guest at the Mercs Dinner. In 2010, I met Tamora... Or not 2010, 2011. I met Tamora Morrison there.
Tamora, yeah.
And so that's another thing. That's another thing that's worth going to Dragon Con for, is that you will get to meet not only all of us starling individuals, but you will also get to meet, like, real cool people.
Because we're kind of a big deal.
Yeah. You'll get to meet real cool people. Like, I've met... I've seen Grant Imahara there talking with another group of my friends probably every year I've been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, and...
Or he's in costume.
Yeah, and we ran into Adam Savage awesome. In costume and had no idea. Like, he came over and kind of molested one of my friends a little bit. Because he was doing a Jack Sparrow costume, and it was sort of an in-character kind of thing. But it was Adam Savage. I had no idea until he was like, and I'm Jack Sparrow this year. Mm-hmm. And he put up the picture, and everybody's like, holy crap!
I almost went to Dragon Con for one person, and that was John Barrowman.
There's also a lot of really, really cool panels to do. I mean, Noval and McCoy, we did a panel on the Episode 7 rumors and what we know so far with some other very notable podcasters and bloggers. And it was that was a lot. That was a good time. I went to that one.
Yeah. Yeah, tell us a bit more about your experience at Dragon Con. We've heard a bit from Dar now.
Oh, well, you know, like I said, I did the parade on Saturday, and that was all good and fun. And then I wanted to do some panels, and there was quite a few people that I like had it in my head that I really wanted to meet, Amanda Bennett and Liam McIntyre being one, two of them. But there are some other podcasters there, Bethany and Riley from StarWarsReport.com. I don't know how you guys feel about plugs, but they were really cool, and they were on that panel with Noval and McCoy at the Episode 7 panel, which was really, really fun, but it turned into, like, after about 10 minutes, it just evolved into an orgy of speculation of just stuff that we don't know, because that's really all we know that there is going. But it really did. It just resulted in, like, Han Solo and Chewie dying in an explosion that claimed the life of the Millennium Falcon. And, like, Han and Chewie dying, people were like, okay, but as soon as someone mentioned the Millennium Falcon blowing up, the whole room just roared with just, no!
We can rebuild it. We have technology.
Yeah. You will not touch the Falcon.
I mean, they gave Luke a prosthetic hand. They can easily, you know, build us a new prosthetic Falcon, right?
Oh, yeah.
Prosthetic Falcon.
But,
But no, it was a lot of fun. I got to do a lot of really cool things. Got to talk to Danny. What else did I get to do? There's a lot of costuming.
Yes.
After hours stuff, and I got to meet some cool cosplayers that I've wanted to meet for a while.
You will see. Of all the cons I have ever been to, or even seen pictures from, the best costumes and the most intricate costumes you will ever see come out of Dragon Con.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You had a favorite moment from it, Mav?
Favorite moment from Dragon Con was probably be...
Or most memorable, perhaps?
I think the dinner, probably.
Yeah.
The merch dinner, yeah. Because that's when really do just get around, and we, you know, you get to meet the people behind the helmets.
Jamie Chappell spilled beer in my helmet.
Yeah. Snell was running around being crazy at the dinner. That was fun.
Yeah, that was the dinner is definitely something not to miss, and we had that place packed.
Oh yeah,
yeah, should be a good time next year too, especially if things keep growing.
We might just go ahead and reserve the entire bottom floor next year,
if it's even there. Yeah,
top floor was not enough. There were two tables sitting downstairs.
Yep.
Yeah, but even that said, people come up and mingle and whatnot. Yeah. So it's not like you someone being stuck at downstairs or over in the side room doesn't mean you can't enjoy the dinner as a whole.
And if you're a patch trader, the dinner is where to go.
Oh, yes, most definitely.
I'd like to chime in real quick, too, about, first, if you haven't gone to Dragon Con or been to a big Mercs mingle, make sure you have a coin or something, or maybe somebody who's been there should pass memo along to some of us who have never gotten this experience.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Bring your challenge. Was a challenge.
He didn't have a coin to respond to the challenge. He didn't even know what the challenge was.
For those that know me, I have my challenge coin on me almost all the time. So if you're at a dinner and I'm there, I might be challenging you.
Damn, I just realized you outrank me now. I can't pull rank on you anymore.
No, you can't.
Well, no, because that's the thing. I never carry a challenge coin. So somebody does the whole challenge thing, I'm like, I'm a regional commander, shut up.
that's the thing, though. Just challenge coins are fun. And in no way is it a binding, you must, you know, do anything. But, you know, it lets
me pull rank on people, so of course I'm going to participate.
It's part of the, you shouldn't be pulling rank, because RC isn't really a rank above anything.
Yeah.
I know, spoiler alert.
Don't tell them that, they'll rebel.
The challenge coin is a camaraderie thing, which is a lot of fun. And but if I'm not challenging you, I might not have my coin on me. But there's only one way to find out, so... I look forward to that.
In mind.
Get him back.
But no, what I really wanted to point, though, is a memorable moment, since you brought that up. Myself, Thaxos, and Mav, and Miss Tori, we were walking back from the dinner, and we got to play heroes, because we got to stop and help this couple who were getting harassed by this, I don't know, homeless guy, I don't know, but...
Allegedly homeless guy.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. But it was definitely one of those memorable moments that, you know, we kind of, like, bonded up and we got to play, not really play hero, but we looked out for these people who were, they were just there for the convention to have fun, and it goes, to me, to show the strength of the Mercs and the kind of character that the people that are attracted to the Mercs, you know? It shows our character, what we're willing to stand up for, you know, just, we don't even know these people, and we went out of our way to defend them and help them out.
Yeah, and that's one of the greatest parts, too, especially when you're at Dragon Con, is just meeting random people that you don't seem to have anything in common with them, but you can find some element of commonality, and also people are willing to help you out anytime you need it, so.
Well, you've automatically got something in common with everyone there. In some form or fashion, you're a nerd.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's definitely a good point, though, to if you're going to Dragon Con, have a buddy. Make sure you're hanging out with that buddy or you know, have their number or whatnot so you can, if the need arises.
But, I mean, when I went to Dragon Con 2 years ago, 2011 was my first one, I walked in knowing absolutely no one, and that was the year that I met the Thaxos, and it was just... and we hit it off
the Thaxos.
The Thaxos. And we hit it off really well, but, like, I met people by working table with them, with people I never knew, you know, trooping with people I never knew, never met before, never even talked to them on the boards before. Everybody's really, really friendly. You just have to have a little bit of an outgoing personality and be willing to, like, walk up and say hi, you know, and that's it. That's all it takes.
And then you have the best con ever.
Yes. It literally is the best con ever. It beats out every other convention because it's not strictly Star Wars. It's not strictly comic books. It's not. It's such a mixed media convention that there's something for everyone there.
Exactly. And unfortunately, at some point, Dragon Con has to come to an end.
No.
Yes, Jake. It's over. Accept it.
Game over, man. Game over.
That said, though, I believe Tobias has some. Has pulled some of the mercs and finding out what to do with dealing with the post-convention blues, as some call it.
Yes, that is the one symptom when it comes to these great conventions. You know, these guys were just sitting here laughing and enjoying the memories, but it comes to an end and you start feeling what's called post-con blues. UrbanDictionary.com says that post-con blues is the depressed feeling you get after going to a convention and seeing friends. The afflicted, meaning who is suffering from post-con blues, you usually call or text somebody from the convention, spend a ridiculous amount of time on Facebook or forums where they find their friends from the convention, and go over every memory hundreds of times.
My life for a week.
Now, I went online, and some of you guys saw, it's called Merc Responses, and I was just wondering, how do you deal with the post-con blues? And here's the responses. Man Bro Lorian says that he sleeps through post-con blues, which a lot of people have said that they sleep through it. A lot of other people said, like, I'm going to butcher these Mandoa words because I cannot speak fluent Mandoa like the rest of you guys. But Carid Vet said that a group of us, I don't know who us is, but head out and start planning for next events, and then he sleeps, much needed sleep. People play video games to keep themselves sane. Basically, it's sleep and trying to keep yourself busy. And I was wondering with the panel here, how do you keep yourself from the post-con blues?
Well, I would have to say that I like Fetsky's response, which is going to another Comic-Con the weekend following.
Shut up.
Which is pretty much what I
do. Shut your mouth.
So bravo to Fetsky, that is the best solution I have found as well.
Troop all the comments.
Basically, what we're hearing,
you can't get post-con blues if you're always at a con.
Well, what we're hearing is that Thaxos prefers the Irish hangover remedy.
Yep.
Yes.
Which is
Thaxos just lived in Cotted Nile.
Yeah, the con never stops.
What are you like in Vegas or like? But what I end up doing to deal with post con blues is tagging a bazillion pictures of everyone I know.
Yep.
Always a good method.
And then additionally, sitting down with a big old stack of paper and drawing out 17 concepts for costumes that I won't make, and then making one that I will.
Yep.
I don't think I've ever done that, actually.
Yep. I walked out of Dragon Con with, like, 5 costumes that I wanted to have done by next year's Dragon Con.
Oh, yeah, no, I'll walk out of Dragon Con with ideas already.
Yeah.
Like, Jake and I have a good one we got to do.
We will do that one next year. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's a surprise, so you guys have to be at Dragon Con to find out what it is.
And I'd also like to add on here Nambi's post. He calls it post-traumatic con syndrome. That's a new one I've never heard of.
Yeah,
PTCS.
Yeah. Yep. To immerse oneself in the Mercs forum, read everything, you'll be amazed what there is on here, and start a new Merc-related project.
Yeah, that's definitely good. Spend more time on the Mercs.
Well, I've also conned a couple of people into making Mercs costumes after having gone to Dragon Con without what it feel like.
Bad pun.
Oh, I felt all left out and stuff, and I'm like, well, that's why you make a Mando costume, stupid. And they're like, oh, okay. Oh,
yeah, that's what I'll do.
And then they do. Yep. It's weird how that works out.
And I have to say, there's probably honestly no cure for post-con blues. I just have to say, maybe I've had post-con blues after Planet Comic-Con, and I think time heals all wounds. That sounds very cheesy, like it came from a fortune cookie, but you just gotta suffer through it, unlike Thaxos, who's like, well, I've been going to, like, Butte, Montana Comic-Con or something.
Butte, Montana.
I can't wait for that.
I'm going to find out if they have a con, and if they do,
you're going to go to it.
You would know where I'll be.
You'll go to it.
No. Actually, in a weird sense, if you go to Dragon Con, the other conventions you go to turn into more of a social event, I've found. Mm-hmm. So you don't really get much in the way of post-con blues when you go to those cons, because you know the big one is the one you're going to feel. The rest of them, put into perspective, not so bad.
I'll say Dragon
Con. So in a sense, Dragon Con is the solution.
Dragon Con is really the only con that can give me post-con depression outside of a celebration.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't get post-con depression after celebration because as soon as I'm done with celebration, it's like, hell, I need to fix all of these things on my costume before Dragon Con.
I can't talk about celebration because all it does is make me very, very angry to a certain employer of mine that messed me out from, I'm trying to word this.
Oh, are you talking about my uncle? Uncle Sam?
Yeah, your uncle. And yeah, just thinking about these six just boils my blood.
Sean doesn't know anything about military because Canada doesn't have one.
And yet he's
right.
Captain America.
Because we...
Yeah.
Yeah, no, whose military marched down back in 1814? We'll leave that.
We're gonna, that's on my podcast.
Oh!
Dirty fighter. Try to keep the gloves up.
Anyways. Dragon Con is crazy. That's all you need to know.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But it is a really good time. Definitely worth
it. That it is.
In. And if you do it right and do it with roommates, you can spend, you know, $300-$400 and do the whole con.
Yep.
Yeah. It's not. It doesn't have to be an expensive con.
Yeah.
Right.
But if you like stuff from the vendor halls, then just don't even go to that hotel.
Don't even bother going into the vendor halls. Were they more expensive this year than they have been in previous years? It seemed like everything was bumped up a bit.
I don't know. There's a lot of stuff at the vendor halls. I actually, for once, pulled off not buying a single piece of artwork in the artist hall. So if you're a sucker for artwork, just don't go in the artist hall either.
Yeah.
There's so much cool stuff.
I actually went to the vendor hall knowing that I couldn't afford it, and then I ended up spending like $50 for a signed picture from Hell on Wheels TV show. Yeah, mm-hmm. I want this one, but I want that one. But I can only afford this one, and I do really eventually have to get home. I can't have all of them.
Yeah. Budget for Dragon Con. Just save up now.
Yeah.
That's another thing. The hotels are already booking right now. So if you guys are going, and you want to be in one of the host hotels, book it now.
Mm-hmm. How many days till Dragon Con?
352
or something.
It is... Now, hang on. I got this.
Yeah, I think it is actually 352.
Is it 352? It's soon.
Well, it's 8 days after Dragon Con started, so...
Well, no, but Dragon Con is soon. You guys don't realize it yet, but once you start going to Dragon Con, it just sneaks up on you. And every year it's like, oh, it's summer. Oh, shoot, it's Dragon Con next weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Run.
Well... Yes. It sneaks
all
up on you in that you're like, oh, I've got forever, and then suddenly it's August, and you're like, what?
Yeah,
exactly.
All right, guys, that's about all the time we have for this episode of Keldabai Talk Radio. I am Frost. special thanks to Mav Nexu and Dark Hero, who came out as our guest stars today. Dar, say hi, or bye.
Bye-bye!
Thanks for having me on.
And we will catch you guys next time.
This has been a production of the Mandalorian Mercs Costume Club. If you'd like to learn more about the topics discussed on today's show, please visit www.mandalorianmercs.com. The Mandalorian Mercs is a worldwide Star Wars costuming organization comprised of and operated by Star Wars fans. Star Wars, its characters, costumes, and all associated items are intellectual property of Lucasfilm. Copyright 2009 Lucasfilm Limited. We hope you enjoyed our show, and we'd love to hear your feedback. Please email podcast@mercs.firespray.net. Until next time, happy hunting.
Your ethnicity.
Moose.
There you go. All right, now do it again.
Can you hear me now?